I'm feeling pretty good right now. Yeah, well, I had a great, great breakfast. Jonathan and Evelyn, who are overseeing our Levite ministry, they provided a feast this morning for all those that helped set up. So thank you, Jonathan and Evelyn, and thank you, all of you who set up every week. Man, we appreciate you. For all of you that are involved in the ministry, just thank you so much for giving your time. But I want you to do something this morning with me. I want you to watch Larry, because I don't want him falling asleep, because he's feeling good right now. Got to watch Dick. All right, just a few people that we have to kind of keep our eye on, because they might have had a little bit too much. I don't know. I wasn't monitoring them like I should. I want to talk to you about fear this morning. Would you watch this for a second?
Always been afraid to go up in an airplane. Now I'm going to jump out of one at the whim of a maniac.
Want to get it?
How do you suggest we do that? Wait! Ow! Not a word! Back to the seat, Kyle!
You'll have to forgive him, Kyle! He's worried about the little woman!
This has nothing to do with my wife!
30 seconds to drop! The sequel was like that! She never backed me up on anything!
The sequel?
The second Mrs. Edward Cole! God, that woman hated me!
Maybe because you called her the sequel!
15 seconds!
No, wait! I can't do this!
Sure you can!
No! I can't! Really! No!
Let's hit the seal! Geronimo!
All right. I think for many of the issues we face in life, it's easier to feel like Morgan Freeman here than it does Jack Nicholson. And I know especially these days with everything that's happening in our nation, the world, man, there's a lot to be concerned about. And, you know, we can let that concern turn to worry, and then it turns into fear and doubt. And that has no place in the life of a believer. It's the opposite of the life that we've been called to live, a life of fear. And as we start this new year, my word to us this morning, which I believe is from the Lord, is that really we cannot start with any type of fear. Because that spirit of fear will prevent us from living a victorious Christian life. And this morning I want to talk to you from Jeremiah 17, verse 5, if you want to turn there. I have it on your note sheet there, but this is a really good place. If you've got your Bible, please turn there, and you want to underline some of these key words in here. Because as you're going to notice, this is definitely, I believe, a word for this day and age right now, and for many of us. Fear, why does fear exist? Fear exists because there is a slight possibility that what you fear could happen. If there wasn't a possibility that it would happen, there'd be nothing to fear. But fear exists because there's a slight possibility that what you fear might happen, you know, no matter how far-fetched. And the problem is it could happen, so we get ourselves worrying about it. And that's where we get in trouble. The enemy wants nothing more than to make us tremble and fearful, because then he's won. And that's what happens when we allow those what-if questions to take place in our lives. You know what I mean? What if my deepest fear happens? I know Carl's got... We're going to be praying for Carl this next few weeks. Carl, a mass was found on his colon, and he has no fear. I was talking this morning, this guy is a man of faith. But a lot of people in that situation, it's like, what if it's the C word? You know, we start operating in fear. No place in the life of a believer to have that type of fear. It's human nature to be afraid, okay? And we got to break that sinful nature, because those what if questions will plague us and prevent us from really living that life of faith we've been called to. So what if my deepest fear happens to me? What if I lose my job? These are questions people are asking right now. What if I lose everything? What if I lose my house? What if the nation goes into depression? What if the value of my house even drops more? I think some people are even asking, what if God doesn't come through this time? I mean, I know he's come through here, here, and here, and here. But what if God doesn't come through this time? It's simply fear. And there are other types of fear that we wrestle with. I mean, people, even if you're not fearing any of the stuff that's going on, there's always the fear of failure, and it prevents people from never starting things. There's the fear of rejection, which makes you afraid to do anything that might draw criticism. Fear is a tool of the enemy. He uses various types of fear to hold us back. And this morning, everybody, in the name of Jesus, we've got to break the spirit of fear. Can somebody say, oh, thank you, all right. I like that, that's good. This is a Pentecostal church. Yes. Someone say hallelujah. All right. Wow. Yeah, revival, it's coming. It's coming. I'm going to take a little time out right here because you guys got me excited. Next week, please come. Please bring your mother, your grandmother, your son, your daughter. I believe that God is speaking to our church at a season of this, and I'm going to be giving you four areas of a challenge, which include prayer, revival, and fasting. And we're going to be believing God for some major, major things. And you're not going to want to miss next Sunday. Please don't miss next Sunday, because I believe God is speaking to us specifically on some things to enlarge our territory. And it's going to culminate on Easter Sunday with us having what we're planning right now. It's just all in developmental stages, but we want to plan a first-class brunch right at the church. Why battle the lines at restaurants around town? You know what I mean? Why pay all that money? We're going to do it right here, and it's for all of us, all the guests, and we're believing God for a lot of people to come up here and to be a part of this. But exciting things are happening, and part of it is us getting revived a little bit, not afraid to say amen or hallelujah when God is speaking. Amen? Amen. All right. Preach it. Okay. Now I'm afraid. Oh, wait, we're speaking on fear. Okay. We need to break the spirit of fear because there is a major problem with it. You know what the major problem of fear is? It denies the deepest reality of God. If we have fear, we allow ourselves to have a small view of God. If you have any type of fear, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're worrying, you know what it means? It means you've got a smaller view of God than you should have. Fear, what it does is it ignores the deepest reality, and that reality is God. And perhaps here it's mixed. Perhaps it's mixed in here a view of God that's not only small, but absent or uncaring. A God that really isn't interested in us. A God that might want to break through for somebody else, but not for me. And all of that is because of fear. And the Bible reveals to us a true and living God who is concerned about your life, your daily affairs. A God who not only is concerned, but a God that has power. See, this is the view of God we have to have, a God of measureless power. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's non-changing. The same Jesus in the Bible works power. The same God that works power 2,000 years ago, he works power today. And fear prevents us from believing that. What's that, Lynn? I said something wrong? Oh, amen. Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'm nervous again. But all of this, with God's power, when we know, you know, we know it again in theology, but it has to come to life in us and through us. Does that mean that life is going to be free from trouble? Does that mean life's going to be free from trials? No. Trials are part of God's intended blessing for us. God's plan is not without trial, because trials, they exercise our faith. They strengthen us. They stretch us. They grow us. But listen, this is what you've got to hear this morning. You are never doomed in the face of trials. Do you hear what I'm saying? A lot of people are going through it right now, and there's the feeling of doom, like there's no hope. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, But that is fear, and it needs to be broken in the name of Jesus. Do you hear me? You might be going through a trial. You may be going through a season of trials because God loves us so much that he wants to make you an overcomer because we're in the last days. But when you're going through a trial, you're never doomed. There is hope. Can we say that word hope? We've got to talk about that word more. We're a pathway of hope. There is always hope, not only for you, but for those that you know that are feeling doomed right now, that are feeling lost, that are feeling like there's no hope. It's a lie from the enemy. There is hope. In the midst of trials, there is a God of hope, a God of love. And that is where God calls us to live by faith, not by sight. To live by faith, not by worry, not by doubt, not by frustration or fear. Because what pleases God? Faith. That's what Hebrews says. It tells us that living by faith, even in the midst of things going haywire, that is what pleases God. Things may be going haywire in your life. Maybe it's the future that's leaving you unsettled. It doesn't matter. Through whatever comes our way, God gives us hope so we can live with faith and not fear. This is an unbelievable story that I read this week. In 1916, a lady by the name of Hetty Green passed away. In 1916, she was a multimillionaire. When she died, her estate was estimated at $100 million in 1916. I mean, that's mega, mega money. When she died, she was considered one of the wealthiest women in the world. But she was also considered America's greatest miser. She was she lived so frugally and miserly that she ate cold oatmeal in order to save the expense of heating the water. When her son had a severe leg injury, she took so long trying to find a free clinic that a major infection came in the son's leg and it had to be amputated. Why? Because she had the fear of losing her money. $100 million. Rather than enjoying her life, her fear crippled her to living a joyless life. And you know from your own experience, that's exactly what fear will do. It cripples you from living life to the fullest, to live in the abundant life that Jesus came to bring us. And we gotta eradicate fear from our lives. Jeremiah 17 is a prophetic word for such a time as this. What we're going to read this morning is God's word to us in a time of economic instability where the future is uncertain. It's also a word for any of you who are worrying about something or feeling anxious over an area of your life. It might be your finances. It might be your health. It might be a relationship. It might be your job. There's, you know, a lot of different concerns in this room. And this is what the Lord is telling you this morning. This is Jeremiah 17. Start with verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed. Ooh, that's a bad word. Cursed. Ooh, that's like completely out of God's favor. It's like you have no blessing. Cursed is the man, is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the Sonoran Desert. Picture that in your head. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. When you put your trust in yourself, you put your trust in mankind to help you, and that's all where our trust relies. We're just one of those little bushes that blows in the wind across the desert, has no value, has no worth, has no good. It just, you know, it's taking up space because it's cursed. But listen to what verse 7 says. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Wow. Okay, here's what God wants to teach us. When we put our trust in the Lord, when we place our confidence in him, we have the promise of being blessed and fruitful even in the time of economic downfall. This nation might go through a recession or a depression, but not us. We're going to be blessed, and we're going to be fruitful if we trust in the Lord. We place our confidence in Him. You know what the word blessed means? It means you have God's favor. The favor of God goes before you and works things out even before you get there. Being blessed means complete satisfaction. And when we trust in the Lord, it says that we have God's favor and that we bear fruit. It's an amazing thing. Genesis chapter 26, there was a man named Isaac who God blessed. He had God's favor. Isaac was a blessed man. Here's what happened. Israel is the land, the people of Israel, they're going through a drought, a famine. Now, where they're living, this is, you know, what was considered later on, this is the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. But there was famine. It happens. America's considered this prosperous nation, and now we're going through a drought. We're going through a famine. America's a great example. We've seen prosperity, but now we're looking in the face of a crisis. But listen, during this famine, Isaac wants to go to Egypt because he knows the grass is greener over in Egypt. Makes a lot of sense. There was no famine there. But the Lord says to him in verse 3, stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. He had God's word on this, just like we have God's word for whatever situation we're facing. He had God's word. He took God's word, and he obeyed. He decided to stay. It probably made no sense to Isaac. Why would I stay in this land? How will I be blessed? There's no food. There's a drought. It'd be better if I went to California, or maybe if I went to the East Coast, you know. But why should I stay in this desert where there is a drought? Why don't I go to Hawaii? How come everyone's looking at Dick and Lynn? That's kind of weird. You should be looking at Travis and Tara over there now. He had God's word to stay in the land, and the Lord says, I will bless you. Now, we're going to talk about blessing here in the upcoming weeks or months, because I think we kind of take for, not for granted, but we don't realize the power of blessing. We say, if you sneeze, oh, bless you. It really has no meaning at all. You know, it's really, a blessing is a huge thing to God. When you are blessed, you have God's favor. It means God is on your side. It's a huge, huge thing. I'm telling you, I want God's blessing. I don't know about you folks, but I want God's blessing on my life. I want God's blessing. It's a huge thing to me. I need His favor in my life. I need His blessing for me as a parent. I need His blessing over my life as a spouse, as a husband. I need my blessing, His blessing to be a pastor and to lead you to righteousness. I need God's blessing, and I want God's blessing in my life. And I know how to get it. It's by trusting in the Lord and by putting my confidence in Him. So Isaac obeys. He puts his trust in the Lord. And verse 12 says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. Verse 13 says, the man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. Remember, there's famine. I'm in Genesis 26 right here, if you want to write that reference down. They're in a time of famine. It's worse than a depression. You know, you've got recession, depression, famine way down here. It's pretty bad. But God blesses Isaac with material wealth, and Isaac is fruitful regardless of the nation's woes. And wealth is one of the many ways that God does shower His blessings on us, even during economic times. And God, as we know, God showers His blessings in other ways. But the key here is putting our trust and confidence in the Lord. And again, by the same token, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man or his own flesh and strength. The Bible says he's not going to see prosperity come. If you put your trust in yourself, if you've just put your trust in man, you're not going to see it. Why? Because there is no dependence upon God. We've got to get this. God does not want us to be independent. We're Americans, and we sometimes have that streak of independence. We're rogue Americans. But we've got to learn dependence upon God. If I just get bailed out all the time, you know, then I'm just trusting in other people. But I've got to learn to trust in God. My confidence has got to come by trusting in Him, because He wants me dependent upon Him. In fact, when King David was in a time of utter hopelessness, he said in Psalm 27:13, he said, "I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Land of the living means in the here and now. He says, "I'm confident in this. Everything looks utter hopeless all around me." But he says, "I'm still confident of this, that I'm going to see the goodness of God come." It's coming. I know it's coming. That's faith. I don't see it, because faith is not anything to do with sight. Faith is, you know, the expectation of what's going to come. And that's what David said. I see it coming. The goodness of the Lord is coming in the land of the living. And David held on to this belief in God, and he put his trust in God and knew that God would deliver him in his need. And for us to live with faith, we must be confident that we're going to see the goodness of the Lord. You've got to have that confidence in your heart. It's going to give you hope, and it's going to build your faith, because that is what faith is. It's based on the truth of the Word of God, that God is a God that delivers. It's knowing that God has never, He's never filled one word of all of His promises, and we can bank on God's Word. Jeremiah 17:7 again says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He's going to be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." So the analogy here is one of a tree. We can be like that bush in the wash, or we can be like that tree that extends its roots out, that's planted by the stream. And here we learn another principle of no fear living. Not only do we put our confidence and trust in God, but we also must be connected to the stream. For us to live a faith-filled life, a life where we're not resisting or, you know, giving into the temptation of fear, we've got to be connected to that stream, to use that tree analogy. There's no other option. Your roots have got to be connected. And Jesus said in John 7, "Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from him." And then John says, by this he meant the Spirit. That is the stream we need to be connected to. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's no other option if we're going to live with faith, if we're going to live without worry and doubt. We've got to be connected to the stream of living water. We know that the Holy Spirit, He's our teacher, He's our comforter, He's our counselor. And to live a faith-filled life, we've got to be connected to the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, relying on Him, being dependent upon Him for guidance, for wisdom, for strength. We've got to be connected to God's Word, because whenever you read God's Word, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you if you read it with the heart of wanting the Holy Spirit to speak. It's God's Word to you. And that's the way the Holy Spirit, you know yourself, there's been times in your reading and the Holy Spirit just quickens something in your spirit. We've got to be connected to the vine. And we know that the Bible says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You don't need to pray for more faith. You need to have more faith. Read God's Word. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. That's what builds your faith. You know what I'm saying? All right. So the Holy Spirit, He's going to speak to you at various times. He'll speak to you when you're in the car, when you're taking a jog. The Holy Spirit can speak to you at any time. But from my own experience, when I'm in God's Word, He is speaking, and we've got to be, this new year, you know, don't, even if you just make a commitment, just one verse, Lord, I want to just meditate on one verse a day. Just speak to me. We need to connect. We need to connect to the streams of living water. Because it says here, when this roots extend to the stream, it does not fear when heat comes. That's what happens when we're a tree that's planted by the roots of living water. There's no fear when heat comes. For many of you, the heat is on. The heat is on. I never liked that song, by the way, but really, the heat is on. Maybe it's an attack, a spiritual attack from the enemy. Maybe it's a relational problem. Maybe it's problems with finances or lack of. Maybe it's the heat is on at school. Get planted by the water. The Bible says when there is heat, your leaves are still green. The heat is not going to, you know, come down and make you dry out. Your leaves are going to stay green because water flows through the whole tree. And we've got to get connected in deeper ways to the streams of living water, right? Because it's going to give you hope, because God's going to speak words of encouragement to you. If you don't trust in the Lord, if you don't put your confidence in Him, you're going to find yourself worrying, and you're going to find yourself not feeling good physically. You're going to find yourself not having a peace of mind, and you're going to find yourself not growing in your walk with Jesus, because the lack of faith or fear, it really impedes our relationship with Jesus. But listen, putting your faith and trust and confidence, it doesn't mean that you don't take any action. I've known people that, okay, I'm just believing in God. God, you're going to work all this out. And I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to allow you to work. No, there is a relationship between faith and action. You notice when I read from Genesis 26, Isaac had to plant crops. Right? God's blessing was on him. He just didn't sit back and say, all right, Lord, bring it on. I want your blessing. He started planting crops. Later on, when the Philistines were jealous of how much wealth he had, and they drove him out of the land, and then they start to clog up his wells. Because, you know, in Bible days, having a well was water, and you need water for everything. And they started clogging up all his wells. What would Isaac do? Dig another well. They would clog up one of his father's wells. What would Isaac do? Dig another well. And I think that's where some of us are today with our faith. We need to start planting some crops. We need to dig another well. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us what we need to do in our situations. Because there is no doom. There is hope. There is hope. So faith doesn't mean just sitting back. Faith means, if it's your finances, for example, asking God to bring your finances into order and believing that He's going to do so. Faith doesn't mean going out and spending more money than you make. All right, God's going to bless me, so I'm going to live outside of my means. No, that's called stupidity. faith means that you're committing your finances to the Lord, and you know that you're going to be financially free, and you're going to gain wealth, even regardless of what's going on, because you're living by God's biblical principles. I can't tell you how excited I am about January 31st when Paul and Karen do a seminar on finances. We have the latest issue of Good News Tucson magazine out in the resource area. Paul and Karen are featured for the cover story called A Successful New You. You've got to read it. The person that wrote it's not too bad either. But when we had our developmental team meeting a while back, and I'm sitting there with Snow Peabody, the director of Teen Challenge, and Roy Tolgren, the director of, Danny Hance, all these people about what it means to be successful, the person that came to my mind was Paul Kelly. Seriously. Not many, you know, when I asked Paul, can I interview you for this article about helping people become successful, Paul's like, me? I'm not successful, but Paul and Karen have lived their life since Paul was in his late 30s, by biblical principles, and today he could work any job he wants because he's not reliant so much on that. He has no debt, no credit card debt. They have newer cars, no debt. They own a house without a mortgage payment on an acre. They have a lot to teach us about how to live and apply God's word to our life, how to live within our means. He was telling me that they don't take expensive, luxurious vacations, because if they have the cash, they use it. If they don't, they don't. And it's there's biblical wisdom in there. You know what it's called? It's called faith-filled living. And when we live like that, there's no need to live in fear because we're living the way God has intended us to live. And I can't wait for that seminar. And I'm hoping that they keep doing the seminar. I'm hoping they write a book and they get famous and they help people. I can relate to Paul and Karen because they're not these multimillionaires that give these seminars. I love David Ramsey. He's awesome. But I just can't relate to him. He's a multi-mega millionaire. I can relate to Paul and Karen because they're everyday people working everyday jobs but living by biblical principles. And I want to encourage you to get into that. We'll probably have to have a waiting list, but we want to open it up to our community too because so many people are in that same boat. How do I do a budget? How do I live? Because we don't know how to do this as Americans anymore. You know, we're kind of reckless. So that was another advertisement right there. But it is all about faith-filled living, and that's what God wants us to do is live by faith, live in obedience. It's all interconnected faith. Obedience, righteous living. And that is what I believe God is speaking to us. It doesn't matter if there is a time of famine coming. It's not going to affect you if you put your trust and confidence in the Lord. Because God wants to bless you. He wants to give you his favor. And that's what I'm going to pray for you right now, is that you would allow God to shower his blessing on you and your favor as you break that spirit of fear and say, Lord, I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to be obedient to your word in all areas of my life. I'm going to do it. Don't you want that? Amen. Lord Jesus, right now, Lord, I just pray for everybody here this morning, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for your word from Jeremiah 17, Lord. And Lord, we want to be like that tree that is planted by the stream, Lord. We don't want to be that bush, Lord, in the desert, Lord, that can't absorb water because it's so parched and so dry. So right now, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to just fill us with your living water. Take away any dryness. Lord, for those that are maybe feeling like they're in a desert right now with their life, Lord, right now, Lord, I just pray for the rain of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Let it rain, Lord Jesus. Let it pour. Let it shower, Lord, on us. We receive it, Lord. And Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we're going to break the spirit of fear. We're not going to live in fear. We're not going to live with worry. We're not going to live with doubt. We're going to live with faith in you. We're putting our confidence in you. And we're looking, Lord, we can see our future and its goodness in the land of the living, Lord. This is what your word says, Lord, and your word never returns void. So we're putting our trust in your word, Lord. We're putting our trust in this promise, Lord. And we love you, Lord Jesus, for the oversight you have over our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you see us. We commit this to you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. With our heads, can we just remain bowed? I want to just invite you right now to take action. If that's you, and you're going to put more faith in God for whatever area that he's been speaking to you, would you just raise your hand right now and say, Lord, it's me. I'm doing it. I'm giving you more faith, Lord. I'm trusting you in bigger ways, Lord. I'm breaking that spirit of fear, of worry, or doubt. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord. We commit this to you, Lord Jesus. We're going to do it in your name, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's stand right now and sing of his greatness, can we? How great is our God. Oh, sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. Let's drive it, can we? How great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great.